Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Gordon Shad here, your host for the weekend edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report, where we cover market moves, key economic data, and a number of stocks that we follow along with, mostly in the resource sector. On this weekend show, we're going to try to recap all of the catalysts, all the news that have come out over the last couple weeks, make sense of it all for some of the trends we're seeing in markets, although a lot of markets, a lot of sectors are still very much range bound and seemingly looking for some more trends. However, there are a couple major trends like the bond market, the rebound that we've seen in gold, and also some currency moves that we will really focus on. To kick off the show, we are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market website. Now, Mark, let's start off with Jerome Powell's speech from this week. We'll touch a little bit on what Jerome Powell said, but use that as a jumping point to a number of these other sectors. Overall, there wasn't a whole lot new out of Powell's speech, really just driving home the fact that, look, the Fed is intending on staying higher for longer, probably no rate hike coming up at the next meeting at the very start of November, but the Fed still would like to see a little bit of slowdown coming in the labor market, even in broad markets and economic activity. Mark, what were some of the key takeaways you had from Powell's speech this week?
You know, I agree with you that Powell didn't really break new ground, really confirmed what his colleagues had, well, most of his colleagues had said previously. I think you're right. It means no hike in November. I think the market has completely priced that out. They were leaning that way in any event based on what their comments were. And that's kind of surprising, you know, given the strengths of the CPI, PPI, retail sales, industrial production. So despite the strong economic backdrop with firm prices, I think the message the market got confirmed was no rate hike, and that the bar to the hike is relatively high. And that is partly because for Powell, a good part of the rise in long-term rates is doing some of the Fed's work for it, meaning tightening financial conditions. And so this also has to be taken into account. As we speak here today, the U.S. 10-year yield is up about 30 basis points this past week.
Well, Mark, to that point, you know, with the long end of the bonds, actually those rates surging higher and a sell-off in the bonds there, it is doing the Fed's work for them in a way. We had asked you before the call started, you know, do you think that Jerome Powell and the rest of the Fed is actually happy with that because it keeps them from having to be too aggressive in November? They can still kind of play data dependent to see how things are going for December. What do you think would make them get involved and have to hike again anytime soon compared to the bond market just doing their work for them?
Yeah, so I think the key is what's sustainable. And here's why. You know, earlier this week, before Powell spoke, the 10-year yield was up about the 30 basis points. And the short end, and for there, the short end, you want to look at the 2-year, what I was really focusing on was the December 2024 Fed Funds Futures contract. I should put this in the context. In September, the Fed said there would be two cuts this year, or next year, I should say, two cuts. The median dot was for two cuts. And so the market was pricing in almost three cuts. And so based on this string of stronger than expected economic data, the market took that back. And so before Powell spoke, the short end is December 2024 Fed Funds Futures, the yield had increased by about 15, 16 basis points. So I had thought that about half of the increase in the bond, in the 10-year note yield, was really a result of changing rates, changing expectations of Fed policy. But as we finished the week, that December Fed funds futures is practically unchanged on the week, and the 10-year yield is still up 30 basis points. So what that means then is that it's true that now we've got to accept Powell's argument that the bulk of the increase is what he called the term premium. And that's where that tightening sort of influence is expressed. The key, though, is what's persistent. Where are we going to be a week from now, 2 weeks from now? Short-term moves don't matter so much, but they do give us the hint of what's possible. And so I think the Federal Reserve is prepared to hike rates if necessary, but the market's going to do the work for them, and they don't want to over-tighten, which is why I think Powell so stressed so many times about being patient and careful. I think he knows that they're at the tail end of the hiking cycle, and I don't think that the economy is so sensitive that 25 basis points is the difference between a growing economy and a recession. But I think that from the market, the psychological point of view, I think it's important.
The market just seems to me, if the Fed wanted to stop the sell-off in the bond market, well, they could. They could step in and either start buying bonds or even more so, stop unwinding their balance sheet. And it just having Powell not really address the fact that bonds have literally crashed over the last 3 years back to 2007 levels, it almost seems like the Fed is okay with the bond market, doing the Fed's job for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, of course, we had this big adjustment. I mean, imagine the adjustment in Europe where they had negative yielding bonds, 10-year yields below zero. And then, you know, so the adjustment, of course, from a zero interest rate world that we were in those early days of COVID. It's, you know, so yes, there's been this big adjustment. But I think from the Fed's point of view, I mean, I think that it's been relatively orderly. And Powell played down the risk that might be coming from commercial real estate. And he also played down the stresses on banks, saying that things seem to have stabilized since that March flare-up. So, of course, it's partly because the Fed itself is lending about $108 billion, you know, in that facility they created, and a couple hundred billion dollars in a discount window. So it's not completely independent of what the Fed does. But I think that the Fed is relatively calm about this backing up of yields, and the idea of restarting QE, I think, is a non-starter. That you only have to do that QE when you're at the zero bound, when interest rates are near zero. That's why you would do QE. But I do hear people talking about that the bond market is crashing, and it's unstable. But I look at the recent auctions, including this past week's 20-year auction, which is not really a duration that people really like, but it was fairly well received. We did have some auctions previously in the quarterly refunding that generated a tail, seeing this kind of sloppy, that's sort of where the where it goes out at versus where it's trading in this when issued market. But I'm still looking at the debt market being oversubscribed. Yes, what I think ultimately is happening is that below the surface, there's been a change of who's buying U.S. Treasuries. It's no longer the central banks. It's not OPEC anymore. It's hedge funds. It's insurance companies, pension funds. And so I think that it's gone from, in some ways, a market segment that's less sensitive to prices to a market segment that's more sensitive to prices. But I don't think that we're in a fiscal crisis here in the U.S. Yes, interest rates are rising. Yes, the debt servicing costs are rising. But I don't see a sign that we're in crisis. I see it more of a sign as an adjustment. And, you know, thinking about our 10-year yield near 5%. So what are we going to see next week? The Atlanta Fed says we could see that Q3 GDP rose by over 5%. The market's not quite there. I think the latest survey in Bloomberg median was about 4.3%. But if you give me 5% growth, give me a $1.8 trillion budget deficit, now give me inflation that's even though it's come down, still elevated, I don't think that a 10-year bond yield at 5% is so outrageous or crisis material.
All right, Mark, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment. So everyone stick around. We are going to be right back with Mark Chen.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are continuing to chat with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Zanuck Burns Global Forex. Now, Mark, as much as we're focused, and everybody's focused, on the bond market in the U.S., it's bonds really across the world that have been falling quite dramatically, a very different outlook around the world from that 40-year bond bull market now to a very quick crashing market. but I want to tie it more into the currency markets as well. You follow currencies very closely, and the currency markets are the largest in the world. So how has this general bear market in bonds globally transitioned over to currency market moves?
Yeah, so the dollar has been strong. I'd say that the dollar made its highs earlier in October, around the time of the U.S. jobs report. And it's been, I'd say, broadly consolidating. I would take a point that given the strength of the, what looked like strength of the employment number, retail sales, industrial production, I would have expected the dollar to be stronger, but it hasn't. So first thing I'd say is, a currency that's an instrument, right? It's our trading experience, right? Something that doesn't respond well to good news is sort of like a yellow flag. It's telling you something might be up. Secondly, I'd say that partly there is a safe haven bid going on. You know, we talk about how gold has rallied, oil has rallied. In the currency markets, we'd express it a couple of currencies that would be safe haven currencies. I mean, people would think one of them would be the Japanese yen, but that's not really participating as a safe haven. We got as close to 150 where people think the Bank of Japan may be intervening, as close as we could possibly come earlier today. But the currency that's been the strongest since in the past 2 weeks, so since the Hamas attack, has been the Swiss franc. It's really the only G10 currency higher, and it's risen by about 2% against the U.S. dollar. The euro is basically flat. And the weakest currencies are those that are associated with, like, risk on, Norway, New Zealand, Australia. We've had some poor data from the UK, and sterling has been under a little pressure as well. But generally speaking, the dollar, this week I think the dollar index is off by about 0.5%. So, but broadly speaking, the dollar still is at the upper end of where it's been this year. And I think that, you know, with a little bit more of a push, bad news from Europe, expanding of the war, something could drive the dollar higher. It's not, for me, then, what I'm saying is the price actions haven't convinced me that a high for the dollar is necessarily in place. But I'm looking for it to turn. I've just been wrong about the timing of it.
Well, Mark, you also brought up the uncurrency of gold there. It's kind of like its own financial asset class, and it's usually a headwind for a strong dollar and for surging rates against the gold price. The fact that gold price today on Friday as we recorded this popped up over 2,000 for a little while, it's now back down below that, and we don't know where it's going to close today, but just the fact that it's as high as it is, considering how high the 10-year was up near 5% earlier this week, and that the dollar is still around 106, what do you make of that dynamic?
Yeah, I think it's, so you're right. You know, usually I think of gold as moving in the opposite direction of the dollar, moving in the opposite direction of rates. Higher interest rates typically bad for gold. To me, this tells me that there's like a third factor that often is small, but has like exploded, and that, of course, is geopolitics. I think people are, it was still in the early days. It's only been 2 weeks. Israel still has not, Israeli Defense Force have not had that ground invasion of Gaza yet even. And so we're still in the early days, and I think people are nervous, are worried. We saw that Ray Dalio from Bridgewater suggested there's a 50% chance that we end up in a world war. And so I think that gold is really reflecting the geopolitics. In the spot market, I hear what you say about the futures market getting above 2,000. The spot market stopped just shy of that. It seems to me that if there's not an expansion of the war, we should look for gold. I mean, that these late longs could be vulnerable, that they, you know, that people sort of capital flight into it. But once there's peace or some more convincing sign, people give up the idea of the war expanding, then I think we can see gold come off.
You have outlined some of the economic data, especially out of the U.S., that we are going to get next week. We all kind of know that the Fed's in pause mode, though, especially for the next meeting. So how should we view any of this economic data because of the fact it doesn't seem like it's going to drastically move the needle for the Fed in the near term?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that we shouldn't expect the Fed to raise rates, of course, in November. What should we be looking for if they're going to raise rates in December? Well, here's what I'm looking at. I think that the way I understood Powell, is that the bar to the next to a Fed hike, so they lean against it, they think they're done, but the economy shows more acceleration. So I'd be looking for data coming in November that picks up early part of Q4, that's October data, beginning with the jobs report, some sign that even though we might not have seen it in September, some sign the economy is losing a little bit of that the oomph, the pizzazz that lifted us so far in Q3. And so the two elements there, I think we're going to see this when we get the GDP next week, is the consumer very strong. We need some sign that the consumer is pulling back. And so far, credit stress levels, the credit card stress levels, delinquency rates, those do not seem to be doing the trick yet. And so I think if we see the we're at the fork in the road. Weaker economic data, some slowing down, will take the pressure off the Fed to raise rates, which the Fed does not want to do. Like you point out, the market's done some of that for them, and they think they had done enough in any event coming into this month.
So then, Mark, I guess to wrap us up, from strictly the investment angle here, how do you relate what we're going through right now to any other times in history? And if you had kind of a bull-bear index, where would your needle lie?
Wow, and I don't remember something as painful as this, but remember why, too. We've had, a 40-some-odd-year decline in long-term interest rates. And I think most people think that that world is not coming back anytime soon. And so we've got to make this, it's a 40-year adjustment we've got to make. And so I think it's painful. Those kind of adjustments always are painful. Where am I in the sort of bull bear? I'm afraid that we still have some more work to do on the downside. Sometimes I think we go through some windows of opportunity where maybe this is like a good buying opportunity. Maybe the down move is over. We're still higher on the year. But to me, just today, the S&P 500 is holding the 200-day moving average, which we really haven't crossed. We haven't traded below it, I should say, since the financial stress in March. We're testing that today around 42.35 in the S&Ps. And we go through that. I don't know if there's much stopping us before we go down to 41 or so.
All right, Mark, thank you very much for your insights here. We covered a lot. If you want to follow along with Mark, be sure to visit his website, Mark2Market.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Two American-Israeli hostages who were held prisoner in Gaza for nearly 2 weeks are back in Israel. U.S. citizens Judith Renan and her 17-year-old daughter were released by Hamas yesterday and taken to an Israeli army base. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says 10 Americans are still unaccounted for. The U.S. deficit has hit $1.7 trillion. Yesterday, the Treasury Department said that spike came after a steep drop in federal revenue in the last year. Oklahoma's Republican Congressman Kevin Hern has changed his mind, says he is now running for Speaker of the House. He says Republicans must unify and do it fast, and they need a different type of leader who has a proven track record of success, which is why he's running for House Speaker. Lawmakers meet on Capitol Hill again Monday. Corey Myers, USA News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
here.
Come
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans, nonprofits, and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, we are going to be continuing to focus on the markets more in that kind of big picture sense, filtering through some of this day-to-day noise. We are chatting with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Financial Group, also editor of the Book Report, which you can find on Substack, which I will post a link to within that weekend show posting. Now, Peter, look, I read over your emails on a regular basis, and quite frankly, the focus is, for a lot of investors, the bond market and the continued rise in rates, and even more so recently, that rise in the long end of the bond market. This ends, or it seems like the bond market has now ended a 40-year bull market in a matter of about 3 years. The TLT has dropped down to levels we haven't seen since 2007. So a pretty big drop here. Peter, your takeaway from this rise in rates starting off in the U.S., please.
Well, after the last Fed rate increase in July, there was this belief that it could be the last one by the Fed. Inflation was decelerating, and maybe that was it. And all of a sudden, at the end of July, the Bank of Japan decides that they want to further widen yield curve control to a range of 50 basis points to 1%, and that really ignited the rise in long-term interest rates around the world. And so, like, while there's this belief that somehow the U.S. is island unto itself and exploding debts and deficits are why U.S. rates are rising, well, it's not just the U.S., it's happening everywhere. So before the BOJ moved, the 10-year yield there was about 40 basis points. Now it's doubled, it's 80. The German 10-year is up substantially since then, and it's not because the German economy is doing well. And U.S. yields are up a lot. Yes, you do throw in all the Treasury supply. No doubt about that's a factor. But we also have sort of global QT. elsewhere. It's happening in the U.S. It's happening in Europe, Canada, Australia. And I think all these factors are coming together and creating this very notable rise in interest rates. So what it's also doing is, without central banks having to lift a finger, it's further tightening monetary conditions and financial conditions. I mean, since that July Fed rate hike, the average 30-year mortgage rate has risen 100 basis points. And housing is probably the most sensitive part of the economy to interest rates. So the Fed is now acknowledging that what will rise long-term interest rates is sort of doing their job further for them, and they don't need to react again with short-term interest rates.
Yeah, Peter, it's an interesting place we're in where the higher rates are doing these central banks' jobs for them, but to your point about the housing market, you know, the latest mortgage rates in the U.S. are over 8%. Now, how does these higher rates, even if the bond market's doing the heavy lifting now and doing it for them, how do these higher rates affect the consumer? How do they affect corporations?
Well, you have not just an 8% mortgage rate, which is obviously making it almost unaffordable for many first-time buyers that don't have an appreciated home to sell in order to buy something else. They're coming at this with fresh eyes and seeing sticker shock. So there's any more renters than buyers. On the credit card side, for unpaid balances, people are paying 22-23%. And if you want to buy a car, you're paying around 10%. So what this does is just you either have to come up with more cash or you're putting off purchases. So from the perspective from the Fed, if we want to cool demand via higher interest rates, well, certainly doing that. For the rest of the economy, it's been more of a staggered impact in the sense of not everyone's loan resets to where current interest rates are. If you have floating rate debt and didn't hedge it, well, you know, you've been smacked pretty harshly with this sharp rise in interest rates. But if you had a loan due in 2024, 2025, well, you're not impacted yet, but that train is still coming down the tracks in your direction and you just have to be prepared for it.
How do you carry this over to market moves then, the risk tolerance of people, understanding that, look, more money is going to interest expense, but for that extra money, people seem to be moving more into some of these safer investments that garner guaranteed yields rather than going more on the risk-on aspect?
Well, it's interesting because we're seeing differing things that have become the safety trade. Short-term treasuries are a safety trade. I think more so now since the Fed's likely done raising interest rates, but people who thought buying a 10-year was a safety trade has obviously gotten burnt. Even if you bought the 10-year the day after the Israeli atrocities, you're underwater. What's proving to be a safety trade in addition to short-term treasuries is gold and energy stocks. That is proving to be the new safety trade.
I think that's an interesting point, Peter, because we've seen gold today as we record this on Friday. It popped up briefly over 2,000 again. It's now down below that as we get closer to the end of the trading session, but still a big move in gold recently, really over the last 2 weeks. Same thing in oil. Oil was down in the low 80s. Now it's back up closer to 90, got close to there today and pulled back a little bit. So we are seeing a move to gold and to oil, but we're not seeing a move into things like utilities or consumer staples or some of the other traditional safe haven assets or even the 10-year treasury, as you noted. What do you make of this dynamic change in the way people seek safety?
Well, I think utilities are certainly reacting more to the rise in interest rates and the higher cost of capital that a very capital-intensive business has to deal with, in addition to providing a lot of competition for the dividends that they pay. Consumer non-durables, same thing. I mean, it seems like the markets have just targeted dividend-paying stocks and sold them off. Also, you have the challenge for a lot of these consumer non-durables where they were very reliant on pricing rather than volume and driving revenue growth over the last couple of years, and there's now a question about that pricing power. So that helps to explain that. You know, gold's just such an interesting thing because when the world was flush with negative yielding bonds, where central banks created the most idiotic economic concept ever called negative interest rates, that you would have thought, theoretically, gold would have been multiples higher in that scenario. Now, all of a sudden, you have gold spitting distance of a record high, with global interest rates ripping higher. It's kind of an interesting, and real rates in particular, which gold historically has been correlated to, ripping higher, and the dollar hanging in there. So it's sort of strange, but there's no denying the amount of central bank buying and going. I'm talking about gold now, but talking about the safety trade. To me, energy is obviously the easy safety trade in terms of what's going on geopolitically and also the whole ESG thing and so on. But it is an interesting new world that we're in right now, that's for sure.
All right, Peter, can you make sense of the recent action in oil and even gold? Because both were breaking down about 3 weeks ago, tail end of September. And then in the last couple of weeks, both rebounded strongly. Gold is tacked on about $200 from the low to the high, given it's pulled back just a little bit today on Friday. But oil was also down right around $80 and then moved up to about $90. So that tacked on about $10. It's been some wild swings. So make sense of these swings and what is sustainable, you think?
Well, it certainly got another lift for both on starting last Monday after the weekend attacks in Israel. So that helps to explain the last couple of weeks. I think for gold leading into that, it was just very much challenged by this rapid rising rates all of a sudden. But when you, like I said, when you take a step back, you know, gold's above where it was on December 31st, 2021, and look where interest rates have done since then. So I think that says a lot about the underlying demand for it right now.
All right, Peter, that is a very good point. And look, it's just been very, very volatile in the last few weeks, and there's been a lot of factors driving that volatility. But, Peter, we're having you back on next segment. We're going to, again, focus kind of big picture on these markets and what's driving them. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Peter Buchbaum.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, beds, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, continuing to chat with Peter Buchbar, Chief Investment Officer over at Weekly Financial Group. Now, Peter, let's look at some of the upcoming economic data. Next week, the Q3 GDP out of the U.S. Expectations are quite high. GDP now is the whole way up in the over 5% area. Consensus ranges anywhere from about 3 to 4.5%. A lot of this is being based on, again, the consumer. The consumer is keeping the economy going. How sustainable is it all?
As you said, I think the consumer is going to be the biggest contributor to the third quarter GDP number in terms of its boost. I listen to a lot of retail commentary and earnings calls, and whether it's stocks we own or stocks we don't own, just to get a sense of the consumer. And you know, things I hear, things I read, just don't sound positive as the numbers would imply. So to your question about sustainability, well, it's clear from what I'm hearing and seeing that the lower end consumer is very challenged. We're talking about not just the current levels of inflation, just the cumulative rise in the cost of living over the last 3.5 years. It seems that consumer spending is being driven mostly by the upper end consumer, and particularly on leisure, hospitality, travel, and those type of experiences. But I question how sustainable it is, because I think even if you're an upper-end consumer, you're looking at pricing and you're saying, wow. I mean, I do it myself. I think we all do, to see that, wow, look how much prices are now in certain things. Look how expensive it is to fly or to go out for dinner. I mean, it's eye-opening.
Oh, man, we have seen it, and you see it in your day-to-day life. This is true, just inflation, I think, hitting everybody. But what are you going to be watching then in terms of that upcoming Q3 GDP number, which we'll get next week, and the follow through into any economic data throughout Q4?
Well, that's the real thing everyone should focus on. I mean, Q3 is over. You know, we're almost a month into Q4. So while we'll talk about the GDP number, and we'll debate it and what's driving it, it's old news. It's what happens now, and we've also keep in mind that a quarter-over-quarter basis, the stronger Q3 is, implies the weaker that Q4 is going to be. And I just think a lot of steam is coming out of this economy because of the cumulative rise in inflation, as I mentioned, and this very notable rise in the cost of capital that just inevitably slows things down. And, yes, some people are going to benefit from the rise in rates, though that those that have savings are now all of a sudden getting 5%, which is great, particularly the older people that have a large amount of savings relative to younger people, and they're certainly going on their cruises and they're going out for dinner, and they're definitely benefiting from this. And companies that have a lot of cash in their balance sheet, but there's a lot more companies that are toward cash, aren't as cash rich as call it the big cap tech companies. You know, this rise in the cost of capital is going to, as time continues on, affect more and more people and affect more and more businesses that will cumulatively further slow things down. And, you know, we take a step back globally. I mean, Europe seems to be in a recession, essentially. I know Germany is. China is dealing with its own economic slowdown. But then, you know, and other parts of Asia, which have actually done okay, like Japan and Southeast Asia, you know, no one is immune to what's going on with global trade, which is basically in a recession if you look at all the manufacturing numbers. So a lot of interesting cross currents here, but I think still the general theme will be higher interest rates will further slow economic activity.
Well, Peter, just to that point and kind of tying into that same theme, we're also in the middle of earnings season. We've had a lot of numbers come in. Some of those big tech, mega cap tech stocks have gotten hit recently. They've rolled over a little bit. Some earnings haven't hit the numbers people were hoping for. But what do you make of the forward guidance, which is, again, the more important takeaway when you listen to some of these earnings calls?
Well, I always say going into every single earnings season is I guarantee you that around 75% of companies will exceed expectations because that's just the earnings game. I think what we've heard so far, it's been very much a mixed bag. They were having this call, Regions Financial is down sharply in the banking sector, and you look at a lot of bank earnings over the past week, and you know, it's been mixed, but you know, there's no vibrancy there because loan growth is slowing, whether it's slower demand and also tightening standards, and loan loss provisions are rising, and charge-offs are rising, and some companies are handling it better than others, and yes, we're still not as bad as where we were in 2019, but it's the trajectory that matters. And then there's definitely a lot more non-bank earnings that are to come. But I think the general state of the economy is very, very mixed. I mean, American Airlines, American Express talking positively about leisure spending, but then PP&G, whose paint goes on pretty much everything, you know, talking about many areas of weakness. So most interesting will be the big cap tech companies because, you know, they still are hanging in there stock market wise, but you know, who are the customers of Meta and Google and Microsoft? There are a lot of small, medium sized businesses. And I don't care how great their balance sheets are, which they are, it's what their how their customers are behaving that are going to end up driving the earnings of these big companies.
So since we're near the end of the year, a lot of people do bring up that whole crash season narrative. And look, there's a wide contingent out there that is still waiting for that major recession and a market crash to come. Where do you stand on that whole narrative here, Peter, of if the market is susceptible to a potential big crash?
Well, if you look back 100 years, we've had, what, two crashes? 1929, 1987. So it's a pretty rare event. So try to predict a crash is kind of silly, so I'm not even going to bother doing it. Now that said, I do think that you know markets are going to remain tough for a while as long as rates are where they are, and I don't see any sign anytime soon they're coming down. So I still think that this bear market has room to go, but it's never worth calling a crash. It's never worth calling a melt-up.
What about the recession calls for the most advertised recession of all time? We have had this inverted yield curve. There's been people waiting for a recession. It seems like it's gotten perpetually pushed back. Have we hit a soft landing? Is the recession still out there? Where are you at on that debate?
Well, a recession is still inevitable. We've been in a manufacturing recession for probably a year and a half now. We're in a housing recession if you're in the existing home business. In the aggregate, you know, the consumer certainly is keeping us out of a recession. But that doesn't mean that we don't avoid one. And I keep talking about, you know, the staggered impact of higher interest rates, and it takes time to play itself through the economy. But again, those trains are coming down the tracks towards companies that have debt coming due in the coming years. Also with households that have an adjustable rate mortgage that is coming due to reset. So it's still inevitable, but it's certainly the economy has hung in certainly much better than I thought it would. But like I said earlier, countries in Europe are in a recession. So it's not like we haven't had an economic impact to what has gone on. And I think it just continues. And, you know, one last thing on, you know, the recession or no recession, I think a lot will also depend on where the stock market inevitably ends up. You know, the top quintile of earners in the U.S. spend 40% of all consumer spending, and they're going to be very sensitive to the direction of the stock market. And I can guarantee you the S&P 500 is 3,500 or 3,000 instead of 4,300, you'll see some major pullback in consumer spending on that end. That can in itself put us into a recession.
Yeah, so I guess just a lot to keep our eyes on. Hey, it's still very much kind of this defensive market, but with the ability of savers, people that do have some money to make some money simply on some money market investments, do you think that has to be the focus for people? Still playing defense, but still being able to generate some sort of income in these extremely safe investments?
Well, that's the thing is you get paid to be patient. You get paid to play defense as opposed to if we were in a tough economic time and interest rates were zero. Imagine that scenario where people would not want to take risk in the equity market, but weren't getting paid for doing nothing. Now you get paid to do nothing, which is a pretty good deal. And having cash is always dry powder in these kind of environments that are very fragile. That if we do get a situation where we get another downdraft in stocks, which I think will happen, well, those that have the gut to do so will have the cash to buy things cheaper, which is usually supposed to be your mentality in bear markets. Bear markets are the best time to be buying stocks, not in bull markets that sort of force you to pay higher and higher prices for things.
All right, that's a good point to end on there, Peter. Thank you very much for your time on this weekend show, and I look forward to seeing you again at that New Orleans Investment Conference, November 1st to 4th. I also did a kind of a preview piece to that conference with some of the companies and that are hosting breakfast and lunches. So, again, everyone, go back to our website and podcast. Listen to the daily editorials and company updates. Keep in touch with us through email. And, hey, if you're going to be in New Orleans at the beginning of November, we'd love to meet up.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.